Cass and Came of Wax, few minutes past 3 p.m. Happy Thursday. We'll be on tomorrow from 1 to 2, and then the pregame takes over, and the game is at 3. The guys will be here Monday. I'm taking a day off, and then we have another day game on Tuesday, right?
That's a doubleheader.
That's right.
Yep. So we might have some time in between. Kind of weird.
Why do you ruin everything for me?
I just got to think it out. You know,
it's a 1:15 game.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. They changed it.
Oh, they did change it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know more about baseball than you do, Wheeler.
Because the schedule is have at it. Do the pregame.
Wheeler really doesn't know much about baseball.
That's one of my nightmares.
Don't threaten me with doing the pregame.
That's one of my nightmares. Is like, Rachel, everyone else at KMOX is sick. You have to do the pregame.
You and Andrew doing play by play for Ricky and John.
Yeah, he just hit.
You'd be
that
like
ball.
Designated survivor.
Yes. Which, by the way, Janelle's here. Hello, Janelle.
Hi. How are you?
You can follow her on line at Holy L. Is that a good show? Did anyone watch it?
Which one?
I made it like two or three episodes and bailed.
Oh, did you?
Susan watched the whole thing.
Okay. Because I've seen it on TikTok and it's kind of intriguing.
It's a good idea. It's just very network TV.
Not well, executed.
I mean, it may be for network TV, but it just... you know what I mean by that, right? It does the whole thing where they got to explain everything to you, really, you know. Like, you know, this is going to come next. Okay, thank you. I do like Kiefer Sutherland a lot, but it's like he's almost the anti-Jack Bauer in that.
Yeah.
In the sense that he's like almost like, I'm just a baby. I don't even know what to do. At least in the first few episodes. It might have changed as that went along.
Nice.
So what's new? What have you? Well, first of all, your trip. You want to talk about that at all? You want to keep it private?
No. I mean, I didn't see any movies because of my trip.
Yeah. Well,
I think the only thing I missed.
You better talk about the trip a lot.
The only thing I missed was Minions and Monsters. So I think.
I think you're fine.
I think we'll be okay.
That was actually my most anticipated film of 2026.
Well, I'm so sorry. But I pretty much preferred my vacation, my mini vacation, my vacation appetizer, as it were, because I'm actually going on an official vacation 2 weeks from today. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So got to spend some time out in Arizona. Spent a lot of time by the pool. Did some kayaking on the Salt River, which I highly recommend for anybody to do if they go out there. It's so fun. There's wild horses that come out into the river. It's amazing. Visited the University of Arizona because I like to see college campuses in different states and different cities.
How'd it hit you?
It was so beautiful. And I love to see their college football stadium. I like to see college football stadiums, just them, how huge they are. And so, yeah, enjoyed that. Like I said, did kayaking. Went to this really kind of kitschy place called the Rooster Ostrich Cogburn Farm between Tucson and Mesa. And you can feed, like, miniature donkeys and goats and ostriches and deer and... stingrays. Just, I love those kind of places that are off the beaten path. And then actually got to click another stadium off my list. I got to go to a Diamondbacks game on Monday. So, yeah.
Very cool. Speaking of the animal thing, I start to say I don't have any regrets in life. I have nothing but regrets in life.
I was going to say, your whole show is full of
them. Who am I even attempting to fool? All these people I've been in front of for 4 hours a day for 26 years. I'm like, let me tell you a lie about me. But when Phoebe and I were in Colorado and we went to the Great Sand Dunes National Park, one of the best days we've ever had. And then we were driving back on this impossibly long, desolate road. There are these little, you know, sideshow attractions. And one was like alligators. And they said, we have the alligator from Happy Gilmore.
Oh.
And I still regret not pulling in there. Like,
I
don't know. Because I'm a dad. And I'm like, we need to make good time to get back to the condo.
When you're on a trip, it's all about making time.
Yeah.
No.
And then he died, the crocodile.
See?
So,
oh. Yeah, there's this wildlife park somewhere in the middle of nowhere, Tennessee, that's on the way to Alabama, and we would drive past it every time taking the kid back and forth, and like, it's like a safari. You drive through it. They've got all the wild, real wild animals. And I'm like, you know, that sounds cool, but I just don't want to lose time.
That's ridiculous. There's nothing I ever feel in a rush for. Like, I just don't, like, what am I going to do? Rush back and sit on my couch? Like, that's just,
yes,
that just doesn't make sense to me. No, like, I, we've done the African, or the African Smart Safari that was in Arizona where, you know, like, the zebras and the giraffes and everything will come right up to you. It, mm-hmm. It's really, I love that kind of stuff. I like that probably more. Now, I love to eat. I mean, do not think that I did not put on weight on this little trip. I ate as much as I... Let me tell you something. Arizona has a thing, too, about stuffing donuts with ice cream. And I love it. I am all... But there was a...
I don't think I've ever had that thought before.
That sounds pretty amazing.
There's a place called Novel Ice Cream in Arizona that they take a, like, a glazed donut, you know, cut it like a bagel,
yeah,
and then shove whatever flavor of ice cream that you want, and then you can have toppings on it. So I think we got it like a glazed donut with peanut butter ice cream and Reese's Puffs on the outside. Yeah. And then they also do a Leslie Knope one for anybody that's watched Parks and Rec. She loves waffles, and they do a they do ice cream wrapped in a waffle. Not a waffle cone, but an actual waffle.
That sounds amazing also.
Yeah. So then at the Diamondback Stadium, they have a churro dog.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah. It was a chocolate Long John, okay, cut like a hot dog bun.
Okay. Oh, with a churro inside it.
With a churro.
Okay. Oh. That sounds amazing.
With a churro, and then it's topped with ice cream and whipped cream.
Okay.
And
I thought you were going to be like a hot dog inside a churro, and I was
that actually sounds kind of good to me.
No, so yeah, put on plenty of weight.
A donut and a churro together—that's just great.
Oh, it was so good. Like I'm saying, Arizona has something about donuts filled with ice cream, and I couldn't be happier about it. Yeah, so
it does sound pretty good.
Love the food. I love going to different stadiums and trying like something that's unique to that ballpark. Like Camden had crab cake covered French fries.
Yeah,
that sounds like, amazing.
That sounds really good. Kind of nervous about the Fenway one in a couple weeks because it's like, I don't know how good this would be in 90 degree weather, but it's like a lobster roll covered with like poutine, and I'm like, I don't know. And then like clam chowder, and I'm like, I don't know. 90 degree heat, I don't know how that's gonna sit.
Yeah. I do like poutine though.
Yeah. So, but Diamondbacks have a bucket of nachos, and I'm talking about a bucket of not like,
it, yeah, we talked about it, I think.
Yeah.
I think we brought it up on the show. I think we asked how much, like, whether two of us could take it down or not.
No.
Yeah, it's like 5 pounds or something.
Wheels, what's your favorite stadium, football, baseball, that you've been to?
Oh, man, that's such a hard question. It's biased, but probably the old Orange Bowl down in Miami, just because of what it was. It was college. Team was awesome. It was always packed. It was old and dirty and nasty, and it wasn't pretty at all. It was just great. But I'm also biased because you know I was probably there 40 times. You know, you're there all the time for all the games.
That almost sounds sentimental.
Bush Stadium is high on my baseball list, like really high on my baseball list. Old Tiger Stadium was really cool. I think Wrigley's overrated. I think it's cool, but I think it's overrated.
Yeah, I've been to PNC Park, and I was just telling him that outside of the view, I was not impressed with the park itself.
Yeah.
Like, the bathrooms are super... Comparing it to Busch, it's just like, this is... Again, the view is great, but outside of that, once that kind of goes away, you're just like...
I've only been to Wrigley the one time last year, and it sort of struck me like... A 1973 Gran Torino, you know, it's just kind of like everything's falling apart.
You're sure.
But that was the charm of it to me. Like, oh, this place is a crap hole, but
cool
it's a so
place.
Cool.
I just don't think it's as cool as people make it out to be.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds really biased, but I've been to Milwaukee and Camden and now the Arizona Chase Field and Milwaukee. Yeah, a few of them. And it's, I mean, Busch has a great view. It's clean inside. I mean, it's just it's hard to beat so far. Yeah.
Oh, I left one out. Lambeau is amazing. Lambeau Field is amazing. I know they've done renovations since I've been there, so I'm sure it's different, but it felt like going into a time machine.
Yeah.
Because you're literally in a subdivision.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like the stadium is surrounded by homes. And like the whole town is shut down and people are like charging for parking in their driveway and on their lawn and it's cool, man. It's a different. If you've never done it, it's definitely a must do if you're a sports person.
It was nice last season. I haven't been to, I don't know, I've probably been to half dozen games this year. And last year I went to about 40, and I went to half of those by myself because I like doing that on Sundays. And you know me, I have to talk to everybody. So I was like the St. Louis ambassador. And when I was sitting next to people like from Iowa or something or coming in, you know, to see their team, I was very impressed and very happy because almost to a person, they're like, oh my God, this is beautiful.
Oh, yeah. It's a really beautiful stadium.
It is a really nice stadium. I did like Camden just because of the history, and it just has that, it almost feels like a small ballpark feel, and I enjoyed it.
It is kind of small.
It is very, yeah. But so far my favorites still are the non-roofed
yeah, I'm with you.
Stadiums.
Yeah, like I was saying, Ackerman and Michael Kelly and I went to the World Baseball Classic between Venezuela and Dominican in Miami. And it's a closed stadium. And it was the best sporting event I've ever been to, the best energy. But the lighting and the vibe was sort of like back rooms.
You feel like it's kind of soulless.
Yeah.
It does. It feels a little anesthetic. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. Out on the streets, that's where we meet. Welcome back, DGS. Andrew, I don't know if you clocked this last night, but Ian Mackey was on the think tank, and when I was leaving, I see this car ominously just sitting still running, like the parking brakes are on, right behind my Jeep. And I'm like, okay, this is a little bit weird. Like, there's no one around, and he's just sitting behind my Jeep, and it's like a stalker or whatever. And he just wasn't moving. I just kept walking closer to my Jeep. I'm like, well, this is going to be awkward. Like, he's blocking me in. And I get up there, and I'm like, ready to fight. And it's Ian Mackey. And he goes, oh, gosh, okay. Because I had, you know, burped my thing to unlock it. And he goes, I was calling Andrew to tell him that there's a Jeep out here with his lights on. And I was like, so relieved I didn't have to fight someone. So...
I had an awkward moment in the parking garage last night, too. Andrew and I were walking out, and I was excited about crispy sips coming in. And I was like, oh, what time are they coming in? And Andrew said 2. And I, like, just being goofy with my friend as we were walking away from each other, I yelled, oh, hell yeah. And there was someone sitting in the car right next to mine. And they, like... close their door real fast while they get away from me. And I literally said out loud, I said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize anyone was here.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Want some fun facts?
It needs to be our new call sign.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Well, what's he doing just sitting in his car?
Well, and the windows were tinted too, so I couldn't see, like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
judging
on him.
Me.
Yeah.
The Caesar salad was once voted the International Society of Epicures in Paris as the greatest recipe to ever originate from the Americas.
It is quite delicious.
Yeah.
You get a little homemade Caesar dressing going.
Good little recipe.
Oh, yeah.
Peppercorns are the most used spice in the U.S.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Really?
Pepper.
Yeah.
More than salt? Or is salt not considered a spice?
Mustard is second.
Mm. Mustard.
Coleslaw, staying with food, comes from the Dutch. It's from coleslaw, meaning cabbage salad. That wasn't interesting at all.
Coleslaw.
I apologize.
I thought it was cold slaw because it's cold.
Coleslaw.
Coleslaw sounds like your dad, like, pitching you. Like,
right.
It's like, it's not a normal vegetable. Vegetable. It's cool.
Oh,
it's
I love this story.
Slaw.
Police in Wisconsin were called to a wedding reception where two people were injured with gunshot wounds, and the reason it all started was because one of the groomsmen ate meatballs with his bare hands.
Mm. Well, if you're going to shoot somebody.
That definitely sounds like it involves some drinking.
He called them cool balls.
Wait a minute, in Wisconsin?
Yeah, they're cool
Come
balls.
On now. I mean, aren't they known for, like,
surprised
the heaviest
he didn't
drinking?
Just grab the cheese tray.
And what happened was the guy just starts eating, you know, mm-hmm. meatballs with his hands. And someone says, you're a monster, like, get a plate. And then he's like, why don't you just blah, blah, blah. And then the gunplay starts. And evidently the guy doing the shooting was defending the honor of the meatball eater.
I love the fact that you actually read this story.
Oh, yes.
A lot of times they're like, you're like, I never read this.
Oh, no,
line.
No. If this
Steve
were, this were about world
this
politics.
One, this one had him at hello.
Right.
Yeah. Normally I come to you guys with a headline.
Right.
And then Rach reads it in real time and she's like, that's not even close.
Did
But then
yes, this one.
This one ends with the bride chasing down one of the guys and like tackling one of the guys.
Dang.
Yeah. Yeah.
She said, "You have any idea how much money I spent on this? You're ruining my
game. Ruining it.
Yeah.
The Travis and
Taylor
wedding will happen tomorrow.
It's
going
to be, tonight,
10 hours long.
Oh, for God's sake.
Not the ceremony, but
whatever. It's
doors open
long.
At 3:30 p.m. Reception ends at 2 a.m.
I hope they film the whole thing. I want to see.
Mm. And the there's only 100 people coming.
What's that?
There's only 100 people coming.
To Madison Square Garden?
Yes, sir.
Why do you have Madison Square Garden for 100 people?
Because they're building a castle.
And then, you know what?
You just suck if you're doing that.
I honestly thought it was a bouncy castle. That
would be great.
That would be kind of charming.
Honestly, if it was just a big bounce house, I would just respect the hell out of this.
I was thinking, oh, she's doing this to help Travis out.
Travis is like, can we have a bouncy castle, please?
That would be so great.
Eat all your broccoli, and then we can maybe have a bounce house.
Exactly, that's what I was like, oh, look, she's catering to him.
Mitch is in the stream. He says, hopefully it's a timeoutless Thursday. Mitch, you don't know how bad it is right now.
Man, we got some itchy trigger fingers in this studio.
Between me and Andrew, we're ready to go.
Yeah, he's out of here. Don't worry.
I mean, just to give you an idea how rough it is right now, Andrew's actually second in command on the band command. Dave's like, you're on a heater today.
Yeah, I am.
He hasn't done it yet, though. You've been like,
I got the red ass.
See? Glutes.
Yeah.
Hey, we're right back to the butt.
You're right.
I feel like I should stop banning.
Get away from it.
I'm worried if I keep banning Mitch like for 5 seconds at a time that like YouTube's going to like suspend his account or something.
Yeah, it's going to affect his standing.
It's all fun and games until it becomes too long term.
You banned him? Don't ban Mitch.
Yeah, I banned him.
He'll be back by the time Dave gets
here. He'll be back. It's like
temporary ban.
Yeah, it's like a 2 minute ban or something.
It's a cute.
He's used to it.
There's a permanent one, and then there's a timeout. Mitch got a timeout.
It's there's like, the Q one, and then there's the permanent one.
Pulling someone's pigtails.
Yeah. But I am worried, again, if I keep doing that like he's actually, like, YouTube's going to, like, fine him.
Didn't stop you from doing it, though, did you?
Yeah,
I'm not that worried.
Man.
Welcome back, DGS 336. Dave is out today. He straight up lied to you yesterday. Swore he'd be here today, and he's like, you know what? Screw it. I'm not going. But we have a live look, Rach.
We are all set to roll into the long holiday weekend, and we continue to deal with a summertime heat wave. However, our big dome of high pressure is sliding a touch off to the east. That's going to allow a little weakening of the high pressure, and that's going to open the door to some pop thunderstorms. Also, at the same time, a high pressure is going to develop over the desert southwest. So we're kind of getting in between those as we get into next week. And what that means is it opens up a northwest flow. Now, it's not a huge cool down, but I do think next week temperatures will be 5, maybe 6 degrees cooler than we have been this week. But tomorrow it continues. It's sunny, it's hot, it's humid. Maybe a pop afternoon and evening thunderstorm. Most will not see anything, but where they pop, they will produce some really heavy downpours of rain over a short period of time, some gusty winds, and a little bit of thunder and lightning. They're not severe, but we need to kind of pay attention to the sky. Be ready to get inside and then come right back out. They don't last very long. 95 on Friday. Friday night, couple of pop evening thunderstorms. Otherwise, it's a steamy night, 78 degrees. Saturday and Sunday, sunny, hot, and humid. Each day could bring a couple of pop thunderstorms, mainly afternoon and evening variety, and 95 degrees for high temperatures Saturday and again on Sunday. The biggest thing these storms will do, yes, it could knock out our temperatures by quite a bit, by 10 to 15 degrees, but the humidity will spike. And again, they're very isolated, so a lot of us will not see anything at all. But again, we know the story with these pop thunderstorms. We just kind of watch the sky and be ready. And I still think a little bit cooler by about 5, maybe 6 degrees as we get into next week as the northwest flow returns. There you have it. Hope you have a great and safe holiday weekend. And we'll talk to you soon.
Andrew, you have a couple of intriguing things on the Google Doc today. I'm going to shoot them both out there and you can pick. Andrew says, our society does not value life and it breaks my heart. Followed by, wow, endless shrimp really did almost cook Red Lobster.
I'll go with the life one.
Okay.
I am specifically referring to this shooting at the gas station in Ferguson a couple days ago.
Okay.
And what I stumbled upon on the internet was something that made me very sad, which was a video from that shooting site. And it's just a guy like walking around filming everything. And if you don't know, the victim in that died in that shooting was a mother who was there with her two young kids, who was just getting them drinks from the gas station and ended up getting kind of caught in the crossfire and shot in front of her two kids. And the kids are running up to this guy who's like filming on TikTok live, and they're screaming like, please help, please call 911. I'm begging you, please help me. And the guy is just like, so he can just like films the kid while the kid's like screaming for help. And he's, you know, you can hear him on the video like, this is crazy. This is crazy. And it's like, it just feels like our society doesn't, like I said in the thing, it just feels like we don't value life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We don't take into consideration, oh, these kids just saw their mom die in front of them and they're panicking and they don't know what to do. And instead we just like, you know, we just whip out our phones and start filming, you know, so that we can get, you know, TikTok likes or Instagram likes or whatever.
Should that be a form of a crime?
Hmm.
Not offering any help, like not, you know, I'm not saying like tend to the wounded because no, you know, you're not a medic or whatever. But like if some, I don't even know what it would be. It might even just be a fine or a ticket. But like refusing to help in a situation like that seems like it's pretty terrible. I don't know if it qualifies, though. It might be a bit much to.
I mean, it's certainly to me a crime against humanity.
Yeah.
It just, you can't, it's not possible. And I didn't see this, but from what Andrew's describing, it's not possible that you're a good person.
No.
If you are filming content of a murder in real time and small children are asking you to help and you keep filming, you can't be a good person.
No,
I wouldn't think so, no.
No, I think social media has warped some people's brains and they feel like they're just living online. Even when they're out and about in society, I still think like you get like the people that like at the baseball games, like those fans that were like screaming cruel things to players about their mothers and family members. Like, did you forget that you're not online? I'm not advocating that you do it online, but it's almost like you feel like there's no separation between who you are. I mean, some people, they, you know, they act like Billy Badass online and then in person they're meek, but there's some people, I don't know if they know how to even draw that distinction between what they type and then how they act in public anymore.
Yeah, it's a good point because years before this, at least I would always think and say, and Reels, I know you've said it too, like, these people would never say that to your face or this and that.
Most wouldn't.
But now it's becoming more, not acceptable, but tolerated, like what went on at the golf outing the other day. And someone, Jordan Spieth maybe, I could be conflating two stories, was saying that he thinks it's largely because of gambling.
Which is
sports gambling.
Which is ironic because the first two posts that he has on Twitter are him promoting FanDuel.
I know.
So it's like,
really?
Yeah. So he was out there, you know, like talking about it in his presser, and everybody was like, "Isn't this you?" And they were posting screenshots of his. I mean, like they
That's
were the first two tweets on his page were him promoting FanDuel, and they're like, "Didn't care about taking that money though, did you?"
Yeah, I think it's way too simple to blame it on the gambling being legalized. I think it's more the social breakdown of norms that social media has caused.
Sure.
Because literally everything can be a trigger for that. It's not just people who bet on games. It can literally be anything. That where people just lose their minds or they don't know how to act right or whatever.
And now they want to go viral by acting, and they know that acting crazy and out of pocket is going to get, you know, you clicks, and it's going to get you clout, and it's going to make the worst people famous like it has. So
I think to go back to Wheels's question of should it be illegal to not help, I don't know the answer to that because I don't know if you can like legislate kindness and compassion. However, I think it should be illegal to host that kind of content on your platform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and without permission from the people involved. Yeah.
So if we can't control like someone's empathy and we can't make someone make the right decision to stop filming and to call 911, what we can do is hold the social media platforms accountable and say, you are not to host content like that. If you are caught hosting it, then you suffer a consequence. So you better get your users on the right track. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. We just seem to leave them out of the equation entirely a lot of times in these conversations. But it's like there's an incentive to act poorly. Like we've all been saying this whole segment. That gets more attention than anything else.
Yeah.
Who is really the one who can change that? An individual can change it. You can make a better choice as an individual.
Yeah.
But the infrastructure that needs to change are these tech companies.
It's a lot like Wheeler always talking about, if you want to put a dent in illegal immigration, go after the employers. And if you want to put a dent in bad behavior online, hold TikTok responsible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, most of it's going to fall under like First Amendment stuff. You know, because in a public place, there's no expectation of privacy. Right? So like that poor family that's dealing with that, you're in a public place, there would be no expectation that that would not be something
but there
in
is
the
an
world.
Expectation to not film minors.
Well, and I would agree with that.
And even outside of that, there's an expectation for you to comport yourself as a platform in a way that's human.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so if enough of us say to TikTok or X or whatever, hey, that's not cool, then it would make a difference.
Yeah. But look at how they've treated like predators. You know, people preying on kids. They basically do nothing about it. Mm-hmm. Or they wait till it's too late, till something bad happens.
Andrew, to your Red Lobster story, I have some information.
Okay.
Yeah. I read two articles last night. And one of them had to do with Red Lobster, and where I haven't been in 30 years. But there's this company called Thai, something as in like Thai food, mm-hmm. that owned a big stake in Red Lobster. And they basically bled it out, sort of like in... Goodfellas, when they or The Sopranos, when they like bought a restaurant, they're just like, yeah, we're gonna torch the place. And they sold all that shrimp to Red Lobster and had
for
them
massively
do,
inflated prices.
Do the $20 deal for massively inflated prices and then just bled them until Red Lobster's like, we're insolvent. And they're like, oh, too bad.
Yeah, yeah, sold them all the shrimp and then made them sell the shrimp for, you know, super cheap.
Yeah.
And so they needed to keep coming back for more shrimp. 2 a.m.
Sounds
going
like
back
a dealer and a user.
Welcome back. 353 DGS and KMOX. Let's play a couple of pieces of audio here. Let's start with number three. This is Congressman Nels, who we played earlier this week. Do you remember what that one was?
Was he the one who wanted to put the sheet over the
statue?
That's
the statue. And, that's
it. And then I commented about, is this the lobster thing? Where he says, yes. This is what I was like. Is this the same guy?
Yeah, yes. On. This one, he is schooling Americans on how they should be eating lobster and ribeyes this weekend.
Real quick, how do House Republicans make the case that you're fighting for affordability when you go back to your districts?
Affordability? What are you talking about?
Affordability is the big...
I'm going to go there tomorrow. I'm going to, well, over the 4th. I'm going to get me a couple big lobster tails. I'm going to get me some nice ribeyes.
Do you think 60% of Americans who are living paycheck to paycheck can afford lobster tails and ribeyes and all of that?
Maybe not. Maybe the 60% of America don't work as hard as I do either.
Yeah.
Thanks, a-hole.
Nothing screams I'm in touch with the rest of the world like saying, you should all go get lobsters and ribeyes.
Or work harder.
Work harder. Work harder than these... Oh, boy, I almost swore.
You did.
Wow, that almost came out.
Weren't they leaving for their vacation as he was walking?
Yeah, they cut their work week 4 days short because they're like, well, holiday's coming. They already did this the last time around, too. They always just bag it early. They work like 9 days a month.
Let's play one more.
Troy Nels can kiss my ass.
Quick little piece of audio. Donald Trump has figured out how they have an algae problem.
Works beautifully. It's a beautiful. We got rid of the algae, which they put in. They put in algae. Who the hell put in algae?
Nobody put in algae, you dumbass.
A couple of people with signs, protect the algae. Can you believe this? This world has gone crazy.
He's like, can you believe it?
Well, he ain't so wrong about
stupid.
That last part.
He's so dumb.
Did you know he just found out that Eisenhower's a general? Anytime he says, most people don't know, it's usually something
he means
that
I
just
found out. It means I just found out,
yeah,
right?
He just found out that Eisenhower is a general. Congrats, everybody. Happy 250.
They put the algae in?
Yeah.
Yeah.